Today's daf is daf kuf mem tet,
and we're holding on the fourth line, beginning of a new sukkah. So we've been talking until now about the halacha of a matnas shkimira, and we said that the rabbanon were metaken a new idea of matnas shkimira. Could be according to some shitas it was a diraita, and that we gave it a concept of yerusha. Now the question is the same way that we need to distinguish between a matnas shkimira, which was complete, a matnas shkimira that was b'miktsas. How about a shkimira who sold? He didn't give. But, I mean, over there also, if he sells everything that he owns, it's exactly the same umdana that we have, that a person wouldn't sell everything that he owns if he didn't think that he was dying. So in that case, if he would get better, so it should be the same thing as the umdana that works by matnas shkimira. And we should say that he really didn't intend to sell it if he was going to get better. Therefore, he can be chayzer. Or perhaps mechira is different. So today the Gemara asks, machar kol nechasav ma'al. How about if the guy sells everything he owns? Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Well, it's interesting. Sometimes we found a shita that Rav Yehuda was quoting Rav to say, im amad eno chozer. That over there, it's considered to be a complete sale, and even if it gets better, he cannot have charata. And curiously, zimnin amar Yehuda Rav imamad, he is chozer. So, I mean, sometimes we could say that there were, you know, one of these was wrong. But here the Gemara says, no, both are correct. The cases are slightly different. V'lo pligi. Ha di itnu lezuzi be'inayu, ha deparinu. It actually depends. If he kept the value that he had received in exchange for the sale in an account and hadn't touched it, so then it was clear that he was really thinking he might have to give the money back. As he gets better, so then he's going to have to return the money. So then that means that in his mind, it really wasn't a complete sale and it has the same umdana that any shchiv mira has. If, however, he used the money to pay up debts that he was owing, so let's say he paid up all his credit cards with it, so then obviously he intended to make it a sale no matter what. He just was trying to set his affairs in order, but it wasn't based on the fact that he was dying. In that case, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav indeed said, ain't no chozer. So it means you have to look into how clear the umdana is. Now another question that we have is, what would be the din of a hoda'ah of a shchiv mira? Suppose he's dying, and he says, you should know that such and such a field that everybody thinks I own, or this much money in this bank account, it really isn't mine. It actually is owed to so-and-so. Now, we thought that it was his the whole time. So we could say, look, I mean, he might just be saying that because we have a general rule that people don't want the public to know how rich they are. So if his sons are about to get a Yerusha from him, he doesn't want every Mashulach in town coming down on his sons. All of a sudden they realize his sons are rich. So he's saying, no, it's actually, I don't even own this stuff. But he doesn't really mean that he doesn't own it. Or perhaps since we're talking about a Shechiv Mira, so a Shechiv Mira, we take everything that he says very seriously. So maybe his Oda is a Oda. Now that's how the Rosh Baum learns. We're going to see that Tosus doesn't like that approach at all for very clear reasons in the Gemara that's to come. And he has a completely different approach. But first let's take a look into Sugya and we'll see why he doesn't like it. Says the Gemara, well, we can bring a proof from a very famous case. The famous case was, if you'll recall, remember that Shmuel's daughter was kidnapped. The very famous case was, if you'll recall, Shmuel's daughter was kidnapped and was raped by her captors, and she actually got pregnant, and she ends up having a son. Now, in the meanwhile, the one who impregnated her became a ger tzedek. Can't hang around Shmuel's daughter for long without being mushpa. So he had a son, and this son became a big Talmud Chacham. But the only thing is that he wasn't really his father, even though he was a biological father, but Mitzad Adin, since he was a goy at the time that he had impregnated her, he wasn't really the man's father. So we couldn't call Rav Mori, we couldn't call him the son of Isser, because even though he's biologically the son of Isser, he wasn't halachically the son of Isser. So Rav Mori was always referred to as the son of Shmuel's daughter, or as the son of Rachel. But in any event, so what happened was that when Iser, who was known as Iser Giura, so Iser Giura was very ill, and Rav Mori was in the yeshiva, and Rava, the Rosh Yeshiva, had the money that Iser had deposited by him in cash. Okay, so now there was a little bit of a face-off over here, because if Iser would die, actually, Rav Mori, his son, was not in line to inherit him, because he wasn't really his son. And Iser didn't have any sons legally, which meant that it was going to be Nichse Ager. So if Iser would die, Rava would get to keep the money. Now, you can imagine this created a little bit of a tension over here. And so, let's get into the case, and as a result of that case, we're going to have an answer to the question that we had raised before. So Iser Giura, Havilei Tzeis Ha'Afizuz. So he had now 12,000 zuz in cash, Bei Rava, that he had deposited by Rava, and Rava should be holding it in safekeeping. While Rav Mori, we'll see, his son, who was not really his son, but was his son biologically, Rav Mori Bere was Horato Shelo B'Kedusha, V'Leilato B'Kedusha Havoi, and he was in the yeshiva at that time, Bei Rava. So now Rava said, there ain't no way Rav Mori's going to get this money. I'm going to keep this money. Because, there's no way for Rav Mori to get this money out of my hand. Because, Birusha, no way. Lav bar Yerusha. If you're going to say, well, what's the problem? If Iser Giura is sick, he could always give the money as a Matna Shchiv Meira, right? No, because a Matna Shchiv Meira only works, remember, as a Yerusha. So the mechanism that we applied to the Matna Shchiv Meira was to use it as a Yerusha. But over here, there's no possibility of Yerusha because this is a ger, and there's no Yerusha. So there's no way for the Rabbanan to make a takana that doesn't have a mechanism. There's no mechanisms of Yerusha over here. So since ki Yerusha shavi Rabbanan, kol heicha, the ite b'Yerusha, ite b'matana. So where it's at least possible to have a Yerusha, so it's possible to have a Matana. But kol heicha the leta b'Yerusha, leta b'Matana. There's no way over here for it to be given over, therefore, with a Matna Shchiv Meira either. So memela, there's no problem. Now, there's a little bit of a machlokas here. I wouldn't say a little bit, a lot of machlokas about where the problem is. Is the problem that Rav Mori is not Birusha from him, or is the problem that he's not Bekayach Yerusha? Most of the Rishonim learn that the issue is that the giver has to be Shayach to Yerusha, and since he's a ger, doesn't have any yorshim, he's not Shayach to Yerusha. But it's not the question of the guy who's going to be getting it. It's a question of the tzakana of the one who's going to be giving it. The Rashbam learns that the problem over here is that Rav Mori is not Shayach B'Yerusha. So as he understands that the issue is that in a way what Matna Shchiv Meira does is it achieves the same thing that Rav Yochanan Ben Broka achieves, except it achieves it even to people who are not currently in line to be Yerush. But since everybody is theoretically capable of being Yerush, everybody else, right? In other words, nix everyone else, and then anyone is your Yerush. But that's only where you could be the Yerush because the father, grandfather, cousin, something is me Yisrael. But over here, there's no way for him in any scenario at all to be able to be Yerusha. So it's not the keach of Horasha, it's the possibility of Yerusha, according to the Rashba. It's a different take on what Rava was saying the problem was. But in any event, since Yerusha is not Shayach here, either in terms of the Morish or the Yoresh, Lete b'matana. So therefore you can't be mitaken something that has no mechanisms. Ibn Mishicha, so what's he going to do? He's going to give it to him with a standard kinyan. He can't, because fortunately, Rav Mori is in the yeshiva, and I am not. He's not here, the father's not here, so there's no way for him to get Ibn Mishicha. Now, if he tries to transfer with Chalipin from afar, he can't do that because these are coins. And Imabea nikna b'chalipin. So what he could do, perhaps, is make a kinyan agav karka. So that he could do with a shtar. Problem is, I know he doesn't have any karka. So iag of karka let layara. So now the only way to transfer this.
What's the thing in agalara?
Kinyan agav is whenever you make a kinyan of karka, then anything that you include in the purchase, wherever it is, you can include agav, the tal-tali.
But then we would have to buy. It's not that.
Yeah, that's but that's the point. There's no. You can't transfer karka. He doesn't own any karka.
Mario or Rabbi?
His father. What's he going to do? You make out a shtar. It's not going to. It won't be any good. Doesn't own anything. Even a machloshtan. So his only etza is, as we've been talking all along, he can do mamachloshtan to transfer a pikadon or a loan. If he calls me, I ain't going. So mamachloshtan has to be in front of all three people. I won't go. So ishalachli, exactly. I'll shut my phone off. Lo azilna, I'm not going. Maski for Ravika Bereda Ravami, so Ravika Bereda Ravami says to Rav, I understand, he's got a simple etza. All his father Isra has to do is to be moded that this money belongs to Rav Mori. So Ludi Isra, the Halin Zuzid Rav Mori Ninu. And then he'll be kena it with his Oda, and then it'll be his money. So then when he comes to be Tovea, the money that's deposited with you, you'll have to give it to him. Because he'll have a Oda that it was his. And at that moment, they actually do exactly that. Isser's household issues a hodah that the money belongs to Rav Mori. So Adahachi nafagodita mi be Isser. So after this conversation, so Rav understood somebody's been talking. They're not that smart. Somebody's been talking. Okay, says Rav. Komegamrita natalin chiomavsidili. Somebody around here has been shot, has been... opening their big mouths to my enemies here, taking away the money from me. Okay, so Lamaisa, the raya over here is from the fact that the Hodah was active against Rava. So Lachora, you see from here that the Hodah is meaningful. Now Tosfos, this is why Tosfos doesn't like the Rashbam's pshat. Because Tosfos says, well, how could you possibly apply this as a raya to the question as you defined it? The question as the Rashbam defined it is that a person is osui to say that somebody else owns his thing in order not to be nitvas as somebody who's rich. But over here, well, we're certainly not going to say that that was the point of the Hodah. Understanding the Hodah is to his own yoresh. I mean, to the whole, that's far as absurd. He's making his yoresh more rich, not less rich, by saying that it was his all along. So that can't be the issue over here. So how can you compare a case where he's clearly trying to give something to his yoresh to from a case where we don't know whether he's just trying to protect his yoresh? Therefore, that couldn't have been the original question, Tainas does. So Mamela the Re comes up with a different approach over here. He says over here, the question was that even though we have a chazaka, now that person doesn't have money, shall we say that it works as a kinyan? In other words, that he's giving it to him basically with a kinyan of a shchiv mira, and therefore the only reason that the Hodah is useful over here is in the context of a mechubad shchiv mira matana, so that he's saying, oh, I owe that money to so. He doesn't want people to be saying he gave you a gift. So he's saying, I owe this to so-and-so. Now we know that so-and-so never had any money. So then we'll take it as a matna shchiv mira. Okay, fine, matna shchiv mira. The only point is, though, that if it's in terms of matna shchiv mira, then if he would be aimed, he would be chozerbo. So that's the question. It's related to the previous sugya that we just had. When you're doing a mecher, is it Eimet Chazerbo or not? So we're continuing. And when you're doing a Hodah, is it Eimet Chazerbo or not? That was the question. So the Shiloh was over here. Shall we say that it's a complete gift or not? And therefore, we now go ahead with the Maisa of Isser. And we said he was Kena here through the Hodah. Must have been. It's a Matnat Bori. Because it can't be a Matnat Shchibera. Because if it were a matna shchimera, we'd be back to Rava's original taina that a matna shchimera doesn't apply in cases where there's no yerusha. In which case, we do not take it as a matna shchimera. We take the hodah as being meaningful only if it was given b'derech matana, and therefore would require kinyanim and so on and so forth. But memela, we have now a solution to the question of whether a shchimera's matana can be transferred as a hodah. That's basically the question. So then it really does tie into Isser. As usual, where there should be two dots, there's no two dots, and where there shouldn't be, there is. So this is now the next piece of the Mishnah. The next piece of the Mishnah, put in two dots. The next piece of the Mishnah, Shir, Karka, Kolshehu, Matanato, Kayemet. If, however, he has left anything for himself, then it's a good gift, and even if he gets better, he can't have charata. So when you say kolshu, what do you mean by kolshu? Kama kolshu? Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, it means that there's enough karka that's kidei parnasato. So he would be able to farm this little piece of land, and he'd be able to live off of it. Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba Amar, what do you need karka for? I mean, if the point over here is kidei parnasato, so if it would be metaltalin kidei parnasato, it's also good. Because the point of the Mishnah is that the man has concerns that he's going to survive, and he wants to make sure he'll be okay if he does survive, and he'll have what to live off of. So turns around now Rabbi Zeir, and he says, I love the way when people have real sforas, they know how to apply it. They're not worried about the misunderstandings that people have of the Mishnah. It makes so much sense, because the truth is I agree with what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. I mean, in other words, why would the Mishnah say karka? What would be the meaning of karka? Because the ikoi somech alei. Wouldn't it be the point is that if the guy would be somehow saved from his illness, so he would have what to live off of, and that clearly, if he does that, it means that he's hoping still to be saved from his illness. So therefore, the other things are being given as a gift, and even if he's amad, he can't be chayzer on them. But if that's the case, it's a simple svara. I mean, we're looking into the way it works psychologically. So what's the nafka mean? It would be karka metaltale. So then metaltale nami, ikoi somechaluye. As long as he's concerned for his survival and wants to leave enough money to live off. Maskifla Rav Yosef, Rav Zera. You call that mechuvan? When people turn their back on the language of the Mishnah, that's called mechuvan. That's not mechuvan. What, my kavanata? I don't understand. The guy who says metaltalin, what, he can't read the Mishnah? The Mishnah says karka, and he says metaltalin. I mean, that's not called mechuvan. Karka tnan. And if you hold that it means even metaltalin, now, if it means how much karka does speak de parasato, that even that doesn't make sense because it says karka koshu tnan. So I don't care how you look at it. For sure, if you say metaltalin, it doesn't make sense. It's against the word karka. If you say that what he means is karka that's sufficient for parnasa, that makes sense. Also doesn't make sense. The language in the Mishnah is the kosher. Omalei Abaye, that's a problem. Why is that a problem? What, every time a Mishnah uses the word karka, it means karka? It doesn't mean karka. I mean, in Farish Mishnah we had before from Pe'ah. Hakotev ko nechasev la'avdo. This is over here. Somebody now writes a shtar in which he's giving everything he owns to his Eved. So then that includes everything that he owns, includes the Eved. In which case, he's now essentially freeing the Eved because he's giving him the ownership over himself together with everything else. So then that Eved is Yotze ben Chorin. However, if he was Mishayer Karka Kosho for himself, Lo Yotze ben Chorin. Rabbi Shimon Omer, well, Le'olam hu ben Chorin. I mean, if he said, I'm setting aside karka for myself. Now, how does a karka and Evan? I know the technicalities. He's compared to karka. But I mean, for heaven's sakes, he's not stuck in the ground, is he? I mean, nobody refers to an Evan as karka. An Evan is not karka. See, he couldn't amend the Evan when he says, I'm leaving karka. He means I'm leaving one Evan for myself. It's not the way he would refer to it. It's actually, he's always going to be considered a Ben Chorin unless he says, I'm giving everything that I own to my servant so-and-so, except for 1 millionth of it, 1/10,000th of it. So then what he might be saying is, my Evet so-and-so is worth a plug nickel, so I'm giving him everything except for that plug nickel, which means that the Evet didn't go out to Cheres because he's the plug nickel. And therefore, everything that was given to him was just there to drive him bananas. Because anything that an Eved owns... Exactly. So therefore, this was just a little lesson in his value to the owner. A shtuck. Yeah. A legally shtuck. So, Memela, Omar Ravdini Bar Yosef, Omar Ravalazar, Asu Metaltalim Shir Eitzel Eved, Velo Asu Metaltalim Shir Eitzel Ketubah. He said that even though the Maisa says in the Mishnah Shir Karka Kosho Alibda Tanakama, that means Karka literally. So that doesn't mean literally. When it comes to this din of an Eved, Metaltalin is perfectly good to leave out. Obviously. I mean, why? That's the point. It's even better. I mean, as Reb Shimon pointed out, because the Talmud is more likely to be what he referred to as an Eved. Fine. When it comes to the din that we had before about the ketubah, we're over there. Remember, we spoke about if a man makes his wife a yoresh, together with his yorshim. So even if it's karka koshu, she's very happy with that. So Bemela, that's the only place she could be taking her ketubah. But if it were betaltalin, we're saying here, that already doesn't make her feel so good. And therefore, even though she's quiet when this is going on and he's giving it, she doesn't say, be it known that I do intend to collect my ketubah, then we explain away her silence as being just, she doesn't want to get everybody upset right now, their husband's dying, which is going to talk about it now, she'll deal with it later. But in a case where it was karka, literally karka, so then Enochinami, she doesn't have any place else to collect her ketubah. Her lien was only on that piece that she got. So that's the meaning of the lien, which is irrelevant to our discussion. And just, we throw it in here. Because it was part of Rav Dimi Bar Yosef. But in any event, the Tanakhama in the Mishnah says, Shir karka koshu lo yatzachir. And we just explained it to mean, and nobody argues on this, that of course it doesn't mean shir karka koshu. It means shir whatever, even metaltalin. So what is Rabbi Yosef so hung up about? Why can't it be exactly the same over here? A Mishnah uses the word karka, meaning some property. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be real estate. What's an afkamina mean if it's real estate? Now, therefore, when Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba said, metaltalin k'dei parnasato, And Reb Zera says that that's very mechuvan. So why is Reb Yosef saying, how could it be mechuvan? And Mishnah says karka, and you say metal. You're exactly the same thing. Mishnah says karka, and we say metal. No. So apparently we're not makbid on the use of karka.
What's going to be the lashon of shir in the fida tanakama that's going to allow us to say that it means ever?
Even karka.
How's he going to say the shir?
Except for one tiny piece of karka.
He doesn't specify.
No, of course, we specified there'd be nothing to discuss. If he specifies, it's not the evet. If he says, I'm leaving that particular thing, it wouldn't be the evet if he specified him at all either. He's leaving us hanging. So obviously, you know, this is the thing they use for kids. They say this over the kids. Is this one of the Chachmei Shlomo kind of things? This is a story that pops up all over the place. So what did he really mean? I'm sure you all heard this as a child. So what did he really mean when he said, I'm giving this the giving the evidence? You know, the whole story, the evidence ends up with nothing. So in any event, but what we do see here is that there's nothing wrong with using the word karka, meaning metatalin. Says Rav Yosef, no! Oh! Hatam bedinu delolitne karka. I did a ton of reisha. You know what? You take things out of context. You ask a kasha on me. Over there, please remember the whole beginning of the first part of the mission. What is the first part of the mission is about? Karka, 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 karka. So over there it says, Rabbi Kiva mer karka koshu is chayevis bepeya bikurin lichtov alayim prusbol lichtot imon dechotzim she'in lamachrayut bekesim b'shtar b'chazoka agav karka. And so we have a whole list of things which is literally karka. So we're talking about karka. So Mamela, we also say, and karka kosher would be enough to be make in this case of an eved, that the karka represents the eved. I'll leave it at that. It's not big. There it's clear from the context that we don't really care. It's just because we're using the word karka. So we're bringing another example where kosher could include all kinds of dinim that you never would have expected. That's the common denominator in the Mishnah, not the reality of karka. So Mishum Hakikatani karka. But in our Mishnah, where did it talk about karka? Did you throw in the word karka when it really means betaltalim? All you needed to say is shir koshu. Instead, you throw in the word karka koshu. What sense is there in that if karka doesn't mean karka? So that I still hold is a problem. And furthermore, the next thing says about, okay, well, that other thing that you were so bothered about, says kol shehu, and you say, well, said kol shehu, and he gives a shir to kol shehu. Whoever heard of a shir to kol shehu? What do you mean, you think? Where it says kol shehu means literally anything at all? Kol heched etani kol shehu, let le shir, but kol shehu doesn't mean some particular amount? There's also a mission of Atan. Reb Dosa ben Orkin is Omer Chamesh Chelot, because it's Zod Mana Mano Pras, Chayavot Bereshit Hagez. So we have a minimum amount of Reshit, just like we have by Truma. In other words, it needs to be now. There needs to be something that you're going to call a Reshit out of a significant thing, which is here the thing of the gaze. What is considered to be gaze? Not stam, you pluck a couple of hairs of fleece from a sheep. A gaze is a significant amount of wool, which equals a minimum of 5 ewes that have each one of them a sufficient fleece to be a mona and a pras in weight. Okay, so there we tie it quite a bit of fleece. The chachamim say, nah, if you have 5 rechelot, what's the difference how much fleece they have? Even if it's kolshein, goes to zot kolshein. Now, over there we explain v'kama kolshein, what is meant by the word kolshein, and Rav doesn't say like you say, kolshein is kolshein. No way. Rav says the shear is indeed the same monopras, but the monopras among the entire 5. Not that each one requires. In other words, I'm agreeing that a significant fleece is monopras, but not that each one needs to have its own significant fleece. It's that the flock, the 5, should have a significant gaze. So, bilvad shumachumashot, as long as it's spread between 5 rechelot, that's considered to be choshev, a flock of giza, that's a giza which you need to take off rations. Obviously more. In other words, we're talking about a giza is not a tzon. It's a giza, it's a time, and it's a whole flock that you deal with. Like we say even in English, the shearing. The shearing doesn't mean a shearing of a particular animal. It's a period in which you're dealing with an entire flock. Says Rabbi Yosef, I'm sorry, that doesn't prove anything to me either. Now, this is an interesting maysa, an actual maysa, in which they came to the Brisker Rav to taina that you should not be allowed to drink the Israeli water supply on Pesach, because somebody saw an Arab throwing a piece of bread into the Kinneret, and it says, chometz, a mashu of chometz asers. So he said, well, you think a mashu doesn't have a shear? It's got to be some kind of reasonable, you know, so if you take a cut, it's like the homeopathic medicines, right? The homeopathic medicines, if you analyze the homeopathic medicines, there is not a single molecule of the supposed medicine in the glass that you're drinking. Because if you analyze the parts per molecule, there's no way that you even got a single molecule of medication in that cup. Nonetheless, that's the homeopathic medicine. Kind of says, Brisker Rav, it's the same thing over here. He's saying a piece of bread in the Kinneret is a mashu. It's not a mashu. It's nothing. The Memela, all right, so Tainas now, Abaye to Rav Yosef, what's your complaint? The mashu doesn't, kosher doesn't mean something. That's exactly what the Brisker Rav is saying, that when we say mashu, it has to be a mashu, not a nothing.
How many
mashus
in a
mashu? Good. So he says, use your judgment. Naturally, halakha l'maaseh, the briskers don't use the Kinneret. So my family used briskers. They have a special water supply on Pesach. Absolutely. It comes from before Pesach. Because of this. So anyway, says Rabbi Yosef, you're not proving anything to me. You're trying to prove to me that a mashu does kosher doesn't mean it. It does. The only reason over there that it says it is because it's coming to stress the immense difference between the two shiurim. So over there, truth is, it's not a normal use of the word kosher, except that Ida de Gabba Tanakama Shiura Rabba. Since the Tanakama was claiming that you need to have what I think is a flock for each one, I'm saying, that's ridiculous. Each one could be anything. I don't mean literally anything, of course. But what I mean is a comparison to your taina. So it comes along now, Omar Yuj, Namish Yura Zuta. He's saying now, well, I'm saying it's so little that it's even a kosher, but certainly doesn't mean literally a kosher. It's like a guzma. So it's a guzma. Yeah, I see you could use the word. But over here, we're trying to actually apply it to the shear of the Mishnah. And here, it's meant to be taken seriously. Therefore, it's not mechuvan. Time is regressing. Iboilo. Machar kol nechasav mal. Omer of Yon Amarav. Imamad eno chuzer. Vizin in Omer of Yon Amarav. Imamad chuzer velo pliki. Hade itnu lezuzi beinayam. Hade par inu bechovo. Iboilo. Shri mirasha hoda mal. Tashma, the Iser Giura Avlechesa Alfi Zuze Beirova and Rav Mori Berei, who was Horatosha Lobi Gedusha Veleda Tobi Gedusha, was Beirav at that time in the yeshiva. So Amar Rava Hechi Niknino Rav Mori Lahani Zuze. We'll make sure I get the cash because Ibi Yerusha La Bar Yerusha. Even Batanatzimat Nashkimira is Kirusha Shavir Rabban. And therefore, and this is the big finish here, that Kohecha de Ite Birusha Ite Bimatana, Kohecha de Lete Birusha Lete Bimatana. If he's going to try to give it to Mishicha, he's not here. If he's going to try to give it to Bachalipin from the distance, Ein Matbea Nikna Bachalipin. If he's going to try to give it to Magav Karka, I happen to know that he doesn't have any Karka. Iba Ma'amat Shloshtan, I'm turning off my cell phone. So Yishalach Lo Azil now. Maskev Lo Ravika Brei Ravami, well, he's got a simple Eitzah, doesn't he? All he needs to do is Lo De Yisr Da'alin Zuzi Da'amorinin of Eliknino Bodita. And as a matter of fact, after saying that, and Rava did not like the idea of people being lawyers for Rav Mori. Says the Mishnah, karka parnasato. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba says, what's the difference, karka? The important point is, it's kidei panasato, so metalton kidei panasato. Omer Rabbi Zera, I like that. Kama mechuvanim shmaitta the sabbat. Because, I mean, karka time am I. Obviously, if it's meant to be an indication he's not a real shchimira, it's because that he's kasomich alei. And if that's the case, obviously, what do we care? If it's metalton, it's metalton. I mean, kaisomich alei. Matki lo Rabbi Yosef, that you call mechuvan. Man yomer metalton. It's mechuvan when a Mishnah says karka. Karka is not to say betaltalin. And man yomar kadei parnasato. If he says it needs to be karka, it still doesn't make sense. The Mishnah says koshu, and you say it means actually kadei parnasato. Omalei abaya. Well, first of all, kolheka the tani karka. What? It's all of a sudden you're taking karka so literally. It means karka dafka. What? Tanano kotev kone kasav laavdo yatsa ben chorin. Shir karka koshu lo yatsa ben chorin. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo olamu ben cholinat shema kona chasayna tunim leploni avdi chutz miyechon miribo shabahem. And there, Rav Dimi Bar Yosef Omer Belozer explained that obviously when it says karka, it doesn't mean literally karka, and assume it totally shure it's eleven. Although in the case of being giving a Yerusha to his wife, over there it actually does mean karka. Lo assume it totally shure it's a ketubah. But that's a whole different psychological issue. Anyway, but meanwhile we see that we use the word karka koshu to mean anything at all, including the Tautilin. Says Rabbi Yosef, that doesn't prove anything. Hatamedino the lolitne karka. The only reason karka was used over there is in context of the Mishnah and Peah, which is discussing nothing but. Because remember the Reisha. I didn't tell the Reisha. Rabbi Akiva omer karka koshu chayevet bepeyah ubebikurim v'lichtov aleim prusbol v'lichtov imeim nakasim she'en lemachrayut bekesim b'shtar ha'chazakah so mishumach ikotani karka. And, okay, fine. But what about the other thing? You're so makbet kolechet etani koshu. You mean that koshu is literally koshu and there's no shiura? And what are you going to do about v'atnan? What about the famous Mishnah Chulin? Rabbi Dosa ben Urkades omer Chomesh rechelot gozizot mona mono pras each one. Chayavot bereshit hagez. And the Chachamim say there's no shir. Chomesh rechelot gozizot kol shein. And we say in the Mishnah, what do we mean by kol shein, which is supposedly no shir according to you? Omarav mono pras among the entire flock, bilvat shu mechumashot at least. Well, says Rabbi Yosef, it doesn't prove anything. Hata medino dololik de kol shu. It's just using it as an exclamatory comment against the shir, which is absurdly big, of the Tanakama. So, aide de karma Tanakama, shiura rabba, omar yunam is yurezuta. So, karle kol shu, just to show you how far apart we are.